L'histoire et la littérature à Berne. Elle s'est particulièrement intéressée aux migrations vers et de la Suisse pendant la Première Guerre mondiale. Et son intervention est intitulée, elle va s'exprimer en anglais, Foreign Guests or Unwanted Foreigners, Internment of Sick and Wounded Prisoners of War in Switzerland, 1916-1918.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the invitation. I want to welcome you to my presentation with foreign guests or unwanted foreigners in terms of sick and wounded.
Excusez-moi, un peu plus fort.
And wounded prisoners of war in Switzerland from 1916 to 1918. Okay. First, a short overview of my presentation. After a brief intro, I will discuss the causes and precedents of internment in Switzerland. And then I will discuss the interests and criticism of internment of sick and wounded prisoners of war in Switzerland. The Humanitarian Act of Internment brought Switzerland several advantages. Especially the financially stricken tourism industry profited from the accommodation of foreign prisoners. However, there should be a shift in the public mood toward the internees in Switzerland in the course of the war. They became in part from desired war guests to undesired foreigners. Since Switzerland adhered throughout the war to the concept of armed neutrality, on its territory moved neither enemy aliens in the traditional sense of the term, an alien residing in a country at war with the one of which he or she is a citizen, nor enemy soldiers. Wholesale internment of certain groups of foreigners was therefore never an issue in Switzerland. However, that did not mean that no foreigners were interned in the neutral country. On the one hand, during the war, a prison camp for delinquent deserters and fugitive prisoners of war was established. On the other hand, Switzerland interned as of 1916 sick and wounded prisoners of war from the warring European states and their recruitment areas. Separated by nationality, they were distributed throughout Switzerland and accommodated in empty sanatoriums, hotels and pensions. In the course of the Franco-German War, the French East Army was interned in Switzerland. 1871, altogether 87,000 soldiers were passing the border of a small state. The internment of the so-called Urbaki army in Switzerland was the first internment of this type in a neutral country. In the Geneva Convention of 1906, the legal foundation for the internment of sick and wounded prisoners in neutral states should be created. At the end of October 1914, the Swiss government contacted the French government by request of the ICRC to negotiate the transport of seriously injured prisoners of war to their home countries, to Switzerland. We heard about that. Even the Vatican intervened in the negotiations, and an agreement between Germany and France could be reached. In March 1915, the first train with seriously injured passed to Switzerland. Until November 1916, several thousands French and German soldiers should be transported in this manner. After the beginning of these transports, the French government expressed the fear that the repatriated German soldiers, who were only slightly injured, could join military service again. The president of the ICRC and subsequent member of the Swiss Federal Council, Gustav Adolf, proposed to intern the soldiers in Switzerland. At the end of December 1916, it came to an agreement again through the offices of the Vatican between Switzerland, the German Empire, and France. On the basis of a list of different diseases and injuries, the prisoners of war should be selected for internment in the neutral state. The selected soldiers had to undergo a medical examination in the camps to a mixed commission of doctors and a further revision in Constance-on-Lyon. From there, they were distributed, separated by nationalities, on different regions of Switzerland and were accommodated in hospitals, empty hotels and sanatoriums. Actual camps for the accommodation of the internees were not built, although they had been plans to do so. However, two prison and work camps were built in the cantons of Vaud and Thurgau, one for the members of the Entente Powers and the other for the German prisoners of war. As of May 1916, Great Britain should participate too in the internment of wounded prisoners of war in Switzerland. There was a total of 67,700 military internees in Switzerland since the beginning of internment in January 1916 till its liquidation in February 1919. But never more than 30,000 at the same time. Most of the internees were Germans and Frenchmen, but there were also British, including Canadian, Australian, New Zealand, Indian, and Belgian soldiers interned. Internment of prisoners of war was under military guidance. However, the person in charge, military doctor Colonel Hauser, reported directly to the head of the political department and not to his military superior, General Ulrich Wille. The organization of internment was based on agreements between the belligerent nations and Switzerland. The warring parties were the financing of the internment themselves. The sum invoiced from January 1916 to August 1919 amounted to a total of about 137 million francs, million Swiss francs. Interned prisoners of war as desired foreigners. At the beginning of internment, the interned prisoners of war were warmly welcomed by the Swiss population and were often showered with so-called Liebesgaben. Here you can see a British intern with an injury at the eyes, and he has a lot of gifts in his hand. It's the arrival in Lucerne. During internment, also many love relationships emerged between Swiss women and prisoners of war, as well as between foreign migrant workers or tourists and internees. According to the military doctor, there were many requests from the internees whether it would be possible to get married while they stay in Switzerland, and it was in general possible. Since mid-1916, the Federal Council introduced a general employment obligation for the internees. They were divided into different classes depending on their ability to work. However, officers and surgeons were excluded from the compulsion to work. The directing medical officers established their own studios and workshops for the internees who were partially able to work. The implementation of employment for those who were allowed to work outside their places of internment was organized by a central work office. This office subsequently received many requests from Swiss companies because there was a lack of manpower in Switzerland during the war. At the end of 1917, a total out of 50,500 internees were employed in Switzerland outside their places of internment. In addition, many interned students were allowed to continue their studies at the Swiss University. In the summer semester 1917, a total of 1,650 prisoners of war was enrolled at different universities in Switzerland. The First World War plunged the tourism industry of Switzerland, which had made significant investments in the period up to 1914 and was therefore heavily indebted of the war, into a deep recession. There was a high unemployment in the hotel sector as a result of the sudden end of the summer season 1914. Throughout Switzerland, the foreign guests were suddenly missing and hotels and sanatoriums were empty to a large extent. In addition, various rumors about Switzerland prevented the tourists from a visit. It was reported that Switzerland would suffer from famine and no cash would be available. And the crisis in the hotel industry worsened again in the second year of the war. Through the internment of injured prisoners of war, a new economic possibility for the Swiss hoteliers resulted. As the tourism regions heard about the upcoming internment, each region try to present itself in the best light to get as many internees as possible for the empty hotels and sanatoriums. In the Swiss Federal Archives, one can find a lot of letters in which a different tourism region praised their advantages. A lot of milk, a lot of green outside, etc. To what extent these letters influence the actual distribution of war across the different regions of Switzerland can hardly be traced back on the basis of the sources. But it is a fact that the soldiers were not, as originally planned, accommodated in special created camps or military lodgings, but in vacant buildings of the Swiss tourism industry. By the end of 1917, nearly 30,000 internees occupied 195 hotels, guest houses, hospitals, and sanatoriums throughout Switzerland. Here you can see a picture of a French prisoners of war on the terrace of the Hotel Rössli in Brienz. You can find a lot of these pictures in the sources. It's also interesting how the Federal Council explained the internment to the Swiss population. In a press release from the press office of the Ormistorf in June 1916, the population was informed about the hospitalization of sick and wounded prisoners of war in Switzerland. In it, the country's fortune not to be part of the war was stressed. The Federal Council saw the internment, therefore, as a duty of a neutral state to provide assistance in an extraordinary situation. But he emphasized that the internment of injured prisoners of war clearly differed from that of fugitive prisoners of war and delinquent deserters or refractories. At the end of the press release, the economic benefits of internment were also pointed out. I quote in German, I hope it will be understandable for all. Denken wir an unser Land, so hat das humanitäre Werk namentlich für die Einheimische infolge des Versiegen des Fremdenstromes empfindlich getroffene Hotelindustrie seine Bedeutung. Mit dem Wohltätigkeitszweck verbindet sich für sie ein praktischer Nutzen, der wohl erwähnt zu werden verdient. The economic interests were clearly formulated here and even served as a justification for the implementation of internment. The war had been going on longer, it was 2 years, and the purpose of internment had to be made understandable for the Swiss population. One could say humanity alone was no longer enough or was never enough. Internees as undesigned foreigners. During their stay in Switzerland, the internees committed different crimes for which they were brought before Swiss military court. The Swiss military justice had also to deal with escaped prisoners of war. And again there were scuffles, sprawling verbal disputes between prisoners of war and Swiss civilians. Such conflict especially happened in taverns, probably under the influence of alcohol, and encounters on the street. Often jealousy played a role, and because Swiss women started love affairs with interned soldiers, and their brothers, fathers, or friends had something against these relationships. In the course of the war, miscellaneous paternity suits of Swiss women against foreign internees had to be evaluated by the Swiss court as a result of that. Besides, the employment of internees brought the Swiss Federation of Trade Unions to the scene, which in 1916 complained that the competition of internees became noticeable in the Swiss labor market. He called for the protection of the native workers as these would suffer most from the side effects and consequences of the war. With parliamentary requests in 1916 and 1917, the Swiss Federation of Trade Unions demanded protection for the native workers and the restriction of wage labor for the internees. The Federal Council reacted with the prohibition of the employment of prisoners of war in the war material production. But there were no consequent controls and entrepreneurs did not abide by the prohibition. However, the Federation of Trade Unions waived further interventions relating to the employment of internees because they were numerically no serious competition on the Swiss labor market. As of 1917, the economic interests of the country, and in internment came on the criticism. For example, the Bernese pastor Hans Zurlinen stated the following in his journal. I quote, "Wir rühmen uns als Samariterland der Liebe. Wir rühmen uns mit den Internierten und Ferienkindern und ersetzen damit nur etwas die fehlende Fremdenindustrie." Also on the part of the foreigners in Switzerland, there was a growing criticism of internment. Many members of the Swiss, of the German colony, as an example, were of the opinion that internment was first and foremost a business matter for Switzerland. In autumn 1917, the economic situation in Switzerland became more and more difficult, especially in relation to food and raw material supply. On the part of the Swiss population, there were therefore increasingly critical comments on the continued internment of prisoners of war, especially because their family could visit them in Switzerland, and often they stayed for a long time and were additional guests in Switzerland. In a letter of the Federal Food Agency to the Political Department in October 1918, it was stated in retrospect, I quote, "Es wird Ihnen durchaus nicht entgangen sein, dass in breitesten Schichten unserer Bevölkerung ein großer Unwille herrscht über die große Zahl von Fremden, welche wir durchführen müssen." It's always about the food. Therefore, the Federal Council strove so as not to give the impression that the internees would be favored before Swiss population in food supply. Already in spring 1917, the military doctor had informed the belligerent nations about the fact that Switzerland could not accommodate more than 30,000 internees at the same time because of its changed political and military situation and growing difficulties in food and raw material supply. He stated that the country's capacity to accommodate new prisoners of war was exhausted for the moment. For Hauser, the acceleration of repatriation of recovered or incurable prisoners of war was the only appropriate measure to relieve the precarious situation in Switzerland. He therefore invited the Federal Council to start new negotiations with the belligerent states. They should organize the fast and unbureaucratic repatriation of the internees concerned. As a result of these negotiations, Switzerland changed its role in the last 2 years of the war more and more from a place of residence into a place of transit. In May 1917, the military doctor issued a general directive for repatriation, and the tourism cantons protested vehemently against the departure of the internees. They argued that whole areas would lose their most important source of revenue. To summarize, the admission of military internees was an important economic factor for the country, especially for the alien tourism industry, as well as a political strategy to defend Switzerland's own neutrality in and outside the national borders. There was a real competition among the hoteliers concerning the accommodation of internees. The internment was therefore a lucrative war business, one could say, for neutral Switzerland. As the hoteliers were mainly interested in the economic aspects of internment, the Federal Council saw especially the opportunity to cultivate Switzerland's image as a humanitarian country, as we heard before. At the same time, the dealings with the internees were a reflection of the reconfiguration of attitude towards foreigners in the country in the course of the war. The supply crisis of 1917 was a catalyst for increasing criticism of internment, which went hand in hand with an increasing defense against foreigners in Switzerland. To finalize, internment in Switzerland was an important moment of peace in the history of the neutral country, but also a welcome war business for Switzerland. Many thanks.
Thank you.